page 621 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll read the entire psalm, all 11 verses. But I wish to point out that the 7th verse and the 11th verse are the text verses. As is our custom to do, shall we stand, please, for the reading of this passage? We'll read the verses responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof make the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the words of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And let's finish together, please. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Father, what a great privilege is ours to be in church tonight, to be in this particular church, to be under the ministry of our preacher. One day, history will tell the story of this church, of this pastor, and of these people. Help us to realize what we have. Help us to take advantage of what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's an amazing statement found in the psalm read a while ago. I think you'll see how amazing in just a few moments. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's mentioned, that same verse is repeated. That's in verse 7 of Psalm 46. And then in the same chapter, same psalm, verse 11, you have the same statement again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I want to speak tonight on the subject. The Lord of hosts is also the God of Jacob. The Lord of hosts is also the God of Jacob. This is sort of a little state of the church message. It's sort of a little message that I feel at this time, as we come to the fall, and I feel the message appropriate. And I want you to hear me carefully. It'll not be the best sermon you've heard me preach. It may even be the worst, but it certainly will have one of the sweetest truths and one of the most necessary truths in all the Bible. Our Heavenly Father, focus our attention upon the Word of God, and especially this little giant statement. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Thou hast a purpose uniquely made for this service tonight. And may that purpose be fulfilled in the life of this preacher and these who come to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. May I have your undivided attention, please? What does it mean, the Lord of hosts is with us? The Lord of hosts is with us. Well, in the first place, it means the Lord of angels is with us. It means the Lord of the children of Israel is with us. It also means the Lord of the heavens is with us. For example, in Genesis 2:1, it says, "And the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them." It mentions the host of the stars and the heavens. In Isaiah 40:26, it says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and see who hath created these that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name." God has a name for every star in the sky, a particular name. And God mentions the host of the heavens. Now, in the second place, God talking about the host is talking about something else. In 1 Kings 22:19, "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left hand." And then in Luke 2:13, the very familiar, "There was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So God, when he mentions host, he talks first about all of the stars and the planets in the system above us. Then he talks about all of the angels in heaven, and all of the saints in heaven, all of the great number, innumerable host of people and angels that are in the glory land. Now, in the third place, not only does God, when he talks about the host, talk about the heavens, the stars, the moon, and all the planets, but he talks and also the angels and all the people that are now in glory. But God also talks about the children of Israel. There are 3.5 million, give or take a few, who made the journey from the land of Egypt to the land of promise. And in Exodus, they're called the host of God. So when the Bible says the Lord of hosts is with us, what is he saying? He's saying the Lord of every star in the sky, who knows every star by name, that Lord, and the Lord who is in charge of all the angels in heaven and on earth, and of all the host of Christian people who've already gone to heaven, and the Lord of all the Jews that have ever lived, that Lord is with us. Now what's he saying? He's saying he's a big God, and yet he is with us. I don't know anything any better about the Bible than the blessed truth that the omnipotent God comes to people like you and me and is willing to fellowship with us. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Round the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained straight because of thine enemies. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And he goes on to talk about how great our God is. And the psalmist looked up at night and he saw the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and the North Star, the Milky Way, and the beautiful moonlit night. And he said, "I don't understand this. How that a God as mighty as you are, the God of the host of the heavens, could take time to fellowship with people such as you and me." Boy, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, that the God who's omnipotent and the God who's omniscient and the God who's omnipresent and the God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords and the one who is all-powerful and everywhere and knows all, that God would stoop and listen to people like you and me. What is man that thou art mindful of us? I mean, he thinks about us. I'm on his mind. He thinks of me. And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him, he dares to bend his ear when I talk. And he even says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace to present our petition and find grace to help in time of need." What is he saying here? He's saying that though he is the God of hosts, he's a very personal God. He's concerned about you. There's not a pain that goes through your body tonight that does not arrest the attention of God. There's not a tear that's fallen this week from your eyes, a tear because of broken heart or sadness or illness. What God has taken note of that tear. There's not a burden on your back tonight that is outside of the knowledge and concern of our loving God. He knows you. He knows the pain you feel. He knows the burden you bear. He knows the heavy heart you have. He knows the heavy load you carry. He knows the questions that seem unanswerable and the problems that seem unsolvable and the burdens that seem unbearable.
Oh, I feel so sorry. I feel so sorry for that crowd of Sunday morning glories. I went to church this morning for an hour, and some reverend got up wearing a gown, and he got up, and he said, he pointed people to a God way up in the sky somewhere. Oh, we come to worship thee, as if you're taking worship and throwing it up to God. We worship thee, the omnipotent, omnipresent God. He is an omniscient God, but he's also my personal Savior. And he is omnipresent, but he also is my personal God. And he loves me personally. He knows me by name. He knows what size shoe I wear. He knows what size sock I wear. He knows my favorite food. He knows my favorite song. He knows my burden. He knows my heartache. And he knows yours. Let me point you tonight to an omnipresent God who is concerned about you and your needs and your problems. Not a bus kid in this church rode a bus this morning, but what God was not aware of that bus kid. And not a sparrow that fell from the sky today, but what God not only knew of that sparrow's falling, but God planned that sparrow's falling. Not a hair on your head tonight, but what God knows that hair and numbers that hair. Not a flower that blooms, but what God planned that flower. He planned every petal. He planned every hue of color. And the psalmist says, the Lord of hosts is with us. He who dwells in here tonight is he who keeps the stars in place. He who dwells in here tonight is he who makes the sun to rise and set on time. He who dwells in here tonight is the maker of the mountains and the valleys and the plains and the lakes. He who dwells in here tonight is the omnipotent, mighty God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what it means in Psalm 8, that first little line that I've called your attention so often through these years. I think one of the gentlest and sweetest scriptures in all the Bible. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. I get this next verse. For out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now get this line again. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. In this passage, God is likened to a performer, an actor, if you please. And God comes out on the platform to perform. And the platform is on the earth. And God tries to perform on the earth. But the earth is not big enough for God's performance. And so they set God, they build a platform in the heavens. And God comes out, and we hear all the angels as they applaud and clap as the great performer comes out. And the platform is stretched in the heavens. And God starts to do his act and perform. But the platform is not big enough. God's act is so great, and God's performance is of such magnitude. Why, that little old Olympic thing out there, that's pinochle compared to God's performance. And God's act is so mighty until they had to take the platform that was on earth and make it bigger to put it in the heavens, and that wasn't big enough, and they had to take that same platform and stretch it above the heavens. I mean, God is such a great and mighty performer, his platform was stretched above the heavens. And yet the next verse says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy. Did you know that God's concerned tonight and aware of every little diaper pin that's sticking one of those little babies in the nursery tonight? May I be a little personal? Did you know that God is just as much tonight for the side of my little senile mother as he is for the side of Elijah and Elisha and John the Baptist and all the saints of glory? Our Lord Jesus was dying on the cross. This is Calvary. Calvary. Look at it for a moment, please. Calvary. All the streams of history empty into Calvary. And all the rivers of prophecy originate at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Here's Calvary, where our propitiation finds its fulfillment, where our justification finds its fulfillment. Here's Calvary, and Jesus is dying on Calvary. And I'll watch him as he dies. Shh. He opens his mouth. Shh. Listen. He
He's going to speak. I wonder what He'll say. I wonder what's going to come, what theological truth is going to come from the lips of our mighty Savior who's giving His life there at the apex and pivot of all of history. Listen. Shh. Listen. His mouth is opening. I wonder what He'll say. Will He call legions of angels? Will He speak something about justification, sanctification, predestination? What will He say? Shh. Mama. Mama. I told John to take care of you after I'm gone. John, take care of Mama. I'm not sure I know anything sweeter than that.
Here He was. All the sins of all the universe heaped upon His shoulder. Bearing the load that nobody has ever borne or will ever bear. Dipping His own soul in the torments of hell.
And being separated from the Father for the only time in eternity. He's concerned about His mama. Listen, I don't preach to you, and I've not for this quarter of a century. I don't preach to you tonight just an omnipotent God up in the sky somewhere. I preach to you, I remember Dr. Rice and I were making a visit down, we were preaching together in North Carolina, and nobody knew the tenderness of God quite like John Rice. And nobody could talk to God quite as personally as John Rice could. And that good man and I were together in North Carolina, and there was a lady, an older lady who was dying with cancer, and they asked Dr. Rice if he and I would go to the hospital and pray for her. We took a bottle of olive oil and we prayed for God to heal her. She's up in years, dying with cancer, they thought. By the way, God did heal her and raised her up, and she lived. Maybe if she's still alive, I don't know. But we went in, and that little lady was sunken face, and cancer had eaten in her body. And Dr. Rice, and he said, "Oh, dear God." He said, "Come and be near." And then he quoted a scripture. He said, "Dear Lord, You said You make our beds. Now, Lord, fluff her pillow for her and make her comfortable and make the sheets smooth and make her bed for her." Did you know God is a very powerful God, but a very personal God. And here He is. He's going to Calvary. He's on His way. He's going through Jericho. And there's a great mob before Him. And He set His face like a flint toward Calvary. But whom did He see? Zacchaeus up the tree and blind Bartimaeus beside the road. That's not the message. Here's the message, and I love this, and it's almost too sweet to even mention. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You say, what's the difference about that? Listen to me. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
God said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God is with us.
But more than that, He chooses Jacob. Of all the people in the Bible to choose to say the God of somebody, the God of Jacob. Good night. Why Jacob? Of all the mean, sorry, cheating, crooked, good-for-nothing, sissy, effeminate, soup-making scoundrels in the Bible, Jacob excelleth them all. I don't like Jacob. When I get to heaven, first thing I want to do is punch him in his glorified nose. I don't like him.
What did Jacob ever do? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing good. Listen, you can check this Bible and you'll not find one single good thing that Jacob ever did. Oh, you say, preacher, he tried to get right with his brother. I guess he should have gotten right with his brother. He stole everything his brother had. And I don't think he's trying to get right with him. I think he's scared to death of him. The thought of Jacob makes me mad. I'm out of the spirit now thinking about it. Jacob. Sorry, crook. You know what he did? First place, his brother went hunting and he stayed home and made soup, and nothing good about a man like that. Nothing. Brother, if you don't make soup or make chili then go hunting, don't you come to church here anymore. You're not welcome. Jacob. Why didn't he say the God of Moses is our refuge? He said, the God of Jacob. What else did Jacob do? His brother came home. He's tired. He's worn out. He said to Jacob, what you got? And Jacob said, I got some chili. He said, got some chili. And Esau said, I got to have some. I'm about to die. I'm just worn out. I'm about to die. And Jacob said, well, give me your birthright. Do you know what that birthright meant? That birthright gave its possessor a double portion of the inheritance. It gave him the right of the firstborn to be the priestly leader of the family. And it gave him the right to be in the genealogy of the Messiah. Did you hear me? Esau was the oldest child. They're twins. But Esau got there first. And he had the birthright. And Jacob said, you give me twice or double inheritance. You give me the right to be in the lineage of the Messiah. And you give me the right to the priestly privileges of the family. And I'll give you a bowl of soup. You talk about a generous-hearted fellow. Jacob was one. And Esau said, not on your life. And Jacob said, okay, you're going to die anyhow. You may as well die. You may as well live. If you live, you got to have this soup. And Esau, God pity him, Esau, he said, okay. And Esau took the bowl of soup. And this dirty, stinking, lying, cheating, scoundrel, deceiving scoundrel got his brother's birthright. And God says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge. They noted it. When their father Isaac was about 130 years old, I think 137, he was blind and they thought he was near death. And Jacob's mother, who made a sissy out of him, she said, you better, said, honey, said, or sweetie face, she said, you better go to your daddy now. He's blind. Now he said, put some of Esau's clothes on. Put some hair. Esau was hairy and Jacob wasn't. Put some hair on your neck and on your hands and go in there and tell your daddy that you're Esau. And Jacob walks in and said, hello, daddy, it's Esau. Esau said, Isaac said, doesn't sound like Esau. Well, he said, feel my hand. Yep, it's Esau's hand. Feel my neck. Yep, that's Esau's neck. Feel my clothes. Yep, that's Esau's clothes. And his daddy gave him the dying blessing, they thought, on what they thought was his deathbed, and Jacob picked his brother. And God said, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Why, in the name of common sense, didn't God use Elijah? Why didn't he say the God of Elijah is our refuge? Why didn't he say the God of Moses is our refuge? Why didn't he say the God of Aaron is our refuge? Why didn't he say the God of Joshua is our refuge? Why didn't he say the God of Joseph is our refuge? Why didn't he say the God of Noah is our refuge? Why didn't he say the God of Elijah is our refuge? Why didn't he say the God of Elisha is our refuge? Why didn't he say the God of Abraham is our refuge? Jacob. And Jacob's mama said, sonny, she said, you better go down in Haran where we growed up. And you better go down there and you better hide because your brother's going to kill you. He says as soon as your dad's dead, he's going to kill you. And your daddy's getting up in years now. You better take off. And Jacob takes off. Now listen, what has he done? What has Jacob done? Stolen his brother's birthright. What else? Cheated deceived his father. What else? Gotten his brother's blessing of his dying father. What else? Runs. And for 20 long years, he stayed. Listen, don't you brag on Jacob because he saw the ladder. He didn't turn the channel on. He didn't choose that program. All he did is go to sleep. Oh, he said, oh, great Jacob. Oh, Jacob, he saw the ladder. God bless Jacob. He didn't do nothing but go to sleep. God took care of the rest. He goes to Haran for 20 years. Sorry, fella. Look, he falls in love. He works, he says to his future father-in-law, I'll work 7 years to get your gal. And so he worked 7 years. Got her? On the honeymoon? He lifted her veil. You heard the song, 7 years with the wrong woman? This is 7 years for the wrong woman. He said, good night. What a hope and development, isn't it? That's in the Hebrew. Goes back to Laban and says, look, I wanted Rachel. You gave me Leah. And Laban says, too bad. I love it. 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 I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad that Jacob had to work 7 more years to get Leah. Then he worked 6 years more to get the stock of his father-in-law. And he comes back. Now, wait a minute. God says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Jacob never won a battle, never led a nation, never preached a sermon. Jacob never wrote a word of the Bible. He never killed a giant. He never stood for his convictions. He was never marched to a lion's den. He never suffered in a fiery furnace. He never crossed the Red Sea. He never saw the sun to stand still. He never performed a miracle. Never prayed down fire. Never healed a sick body. Never built an ark. Never built a temple. Well, then why didn't God say the God of Jacob or the God of Moses is our refuge, or the God of Abraham is our refuge, or the God of Joshua is our refuge, or the God of Elijah is our refuge, or the God of Elisha is our refuge, or the God of Noah is our refuge, or the God of Aaron is our refuge, or the God of Joseph is our refuge, or even Isaac is our refuge? I'll tell you why. Because most of us couldn't find any comfort if he said the God of Moses. Because we're not much like Moses. Most of us couldn't find any comfort in that statement. He said the God of Elijah, because we're not very much like Elijah. If God had said the God of Joseph is our refuge, we couldn't find any comfort in that. But thank God, he said the God of Jacob. I can identify with Jacob. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I'm saying that, brothers and sisters, what God is saying in this one little line, and God never says anything accidentally. Everything's on purpose. He's saying, I'm the God of sinners. I'm the God of sinners. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' blood can make you clean. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the God of hosts said, I am the God who owns the angels, the host of angels. I'm the God who owns the host of stars. I'm the God that rules the universe. But he said, I'm the God of Jacob too. And Jacob's out there in this audience, God is your God. Because God is saying, I'm the God of sinners. Are you weak tonight? God is saying in this little line, he's your God. Are you a backslider tonight? God is saying to you, he's your God. Are you tonight, have you sinned and broken your own heart? God is saying tonight, he's your God. Have you left the perfect will of God for your life? God is saying to everybody in this room, I don't care how deep in sin you've gone. I don't care how far from Calvary you've strayed. I don't care how far from the will of God your feet have trod. I don't care. God is saying, hey, I didn't say the God of Moses. I said the God of Jacob. What's he saying? Have you been crooked? I'm your God. Have you cheated? I'm your God. Have you deceived? I'm your God. Have you left my will and gone to Haran? I'm your God. Have you been outside my will for 20 years? I'm your God. He's saying, hey, whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open. Enter while you may. Jesus is the truth, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. He's just saying, this is the Old Testament statement. He's a friend of sinners. That's all it is. By the way, all of us have made mistakes. All of us have done things we shouldn't have done, said things we shouldn't have said, thought things we shouldn't have thought. I was thinking this week, as I was thinking about the last quarter of a century, I was thinking about that night years ago when I got so tired and weary. We were homesick and then gone up here and were new, and the battles came, and good people didn't understand my preaching and didn't understand me. And there was some misunderstanding, and one night I almost broke, absolutely I almost broke, and I walked in the pulpit. I did something I've only done one time in 25 years. I preached to a person.
I've never done that since then. That's the God's truth. You may think sometimes I have, but I've never done that since. But that one night, I preached a whole sermon to one person, and he was a good man. But the load was weary, it was heavy. And I was a young man, and I didn't know, maybe in those days, how to turn the other cheek as I should have known. And I didn't know in those days how to bless those that cursed me like I should have known. And I was just 33 years of age, and I said some things I shouldn't have said, and I walked over to the baptismal dressing room to baptize that night. And I said, I guess this is it. I did wrong tonight, and I made a mistake, and I said some things I shouldn't have said, and I guess this is it. And I said to the men there, I'll resign Wednesday night. The door opened, and in walked that good man back there, Ed Roush. He walked in, and he said to me, Preacher, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay, Brother Roush, I'll resign. I know I shouldn't have said what I said. And Brother Roush said, Preacher, I didn't come to say that. I came to admit that you made a mistake tonight. I came to admit that you shouldn't have said the things you said. But he said, Preacher, we know you're human, and we know the Lord's been heavy for you. He said, there are 1,000 people out there in that auditorium right now that love you, and they want you, and they want your leadership. And the next Wednesday night, I stood up and apologized for preaching a sermon to one man and having an unkind spirit in my heart while I did. And I was thinking this week, thank God he's a God of Jacob. I'm glad I didn't say the God of Elijah is our refuge. I couldn't be an Elijah. I'm glad I didn't say the God of Moses is our refuge. I've never parted the Red Sea. I've gotten water from a rock. I've never followed a man. I've gotten a manna from heaven every morning or seen the pillar of cloud by day or pillar of fire by night. I can't identify Moses. He said, God of Moses is our refuge. That wouldn't have helped me, but thank God he chose old Jacob and said, he is our refuge. He's saying, tonight, have you stumbled? He's saying, tonight, have you disappointed yourself and your family and your friends and even your God? He's saying, the God of Jacob, he's your refuge. By the way, there's no other place to go. There's no other place to go. He's our refuge. You flee to Jesus tonight. Have you gotten outside the will of God? You flee to the God of Jacob tonight. God is saying, by the way, isn't that beautiful? Jacob didn't do a thing. Bless his old pea-picking heart. He didn't do a solitary, decent thing in his whole life, as far as I know, except die. Isn't that good, though? He wrestled all night with the angel. You know, I was mistaken about that a long time. I thought Jacob grabbed that angel and tried to... He said, I'm not going to let you go, angel. You're going to bless me. That angel attacked Jacob. What is it? God tracking him down. And after Jacob kept on wrestling, he said, okay, now that you got me, I'm not going to let you go. You bless me. And God said, Jacob, You prevail with me now. He said, I won't call you Jacob, a trickster or a schemer anymore. He said, I'll call you a prince. Listen to me, folks. Did you know that's the way God is? God doesn't call us a prince because we're princes. God calls a prince because we're forgiven. God doesn't call us a prince because of what we've done. He calls us a prince because of what he's done. I'm not royalty tonight because of what I am. I'm royalty because of what he is. I'm not royalty because of what I've done, because of what he's done. And God said, Jacob, you're a prince now. Jacob's old. I'm not sure how old. I think 120. I don't know. But he's old. Life is wasted. And God says, Jacob, you're a prince now. Look at Jonah. God wouldn't let him go. He loves us. He wouldn't let him go. Left the will of God, refused to go to Nineveh. Went to Joppa, got on a boat, caused the boat to be in a storm, caused a storm on the sea, cast off the boat, swallowed by a fish. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Nineveh, the son of Amittai, the second time. I love that verse. I love that verse. Look at the Israelites. The God of the Israelites. They failed to go in the promised land, but God kept giving them manna from heaven every morning and water from the rock in Horeb. And he kept the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night before them all the time. I'm saying that God is not, he's not saying here, I'm the God of the perfect, but I'm the God of the imperfect. He's not saying, I'm the God of the strong,
I'm the God of the weak. He's not saying, I'm the God of the righteous. He's saying, I'm the God of sinners. I'm the God of cheaters who want to get right. I'm the God of drunkards who want to get right. I'm the God of harlots who want to get right. I'm the God of backsliders that want to get right. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' blood can make you clean. He's saying, now say this tonight. I have made many a mistake. Never an intentional one. All these 25 years I've been your pastor. But this is the truth. I have been the pastor of Jacobs. I spend most of my life with Jacobs. Anybody here says, preacher, caters to rich people, is either deceived or a liar. No, I spend my life with Jacobs. Anybody says Brother Howells is concerned about going running with the upper crust, that's not true. First place, there's no upper crust with God. But I'm saying that for these 25 years, I've spent most of my life with Jacobs. I've taken lives that have been tattered and worn by sin for 25 years. I'm sitting there in my office day after day, and usually into the late hours of every night when I'm at home, I'm in the office, and I have some Jacob there, and I'm trying to say, Jacob, come back to Bethel, come back to Bethel, and Jacob, here's the way you do it! Yeah, I say this too, and I probably shouldn't say this, but all over America, I've been a preacher of Jacob's. Preachers in trouble, call me. Preachers with church problems, call me. I've been a pastor of Jacob's all over the country. And may I say this, I want this church to be called, as our God is called, the God of Jacob. I want this church to be called the Church of Jacob's. I'm not talking about we ought to be sinners. I'm not for a single moment condoning sin. But I've said it so often, my job is twofold. My job's to stand up here as I've done all these years and wave the flag and say sin never turns out right. The devil's a liar. The devil's a cheat. He's a crook. He's wrong. Don't listen to him. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Sin never turns out right. Don't do it. That's my job. Second part of my job is when you don't believe me. My job's to go to the study door and hold my arms out and say, okay. I'll never forget that. Young boy grew up in our church. Went down the depths of sin. Alcoholic. Became a vegetable because of dope. One night I came back to my office and in the waiting room he was sitting. And I said, may I help you please? He said, don't you know me? And I said, son, I don't think so. He said, yes you do. He called his name. And I said, of course I know you. And I remembered when he was that high. His mama brought him to my office. His daddy came. Mama, one time his dad came to my office and he was there. He couldn't have been over 4 or 5 years old. I'm the only preacher he ever had. But he didn't listen to me when I waved the flag. And there he just sat in the waiting room, a vegetable. He threw his arms around my shoulders. And he said, preacher, I was sitting in a bar in St. Louis, Missouri, drunk, high on dope, and he said, I wonder if anybody in the world loves me. And he said, preacher, immediately your face came in my mind. He said it was nighttime, and he said, preacher, I said, yes, there's one that loves me, and he was right. And he said, I said to myself, I know what he's doing right now. It's been years since I've seen him. I know what he's doing. He's in his office right now trying to help somebody. He said, preacher, I got in the car and drove all the way to Hammond. I wanted to look in the face for once of somebody that loves me. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Not the God of Abraham, who left the earth, the Chaldees, to look for a city whose builder and ruler is God. Not the God of Moses who took the rod and smote the Red Sea and 3.5 million Jews walked over on dry ground. Not the God of Aaron who wore the breastplate and the He's not called the God of Jonah or the God of Noah who built the ark and his family were saved. He's not called the God of Aaron the priest or Joseph, the one who was lifted and exalted, the second in the kingdom. No, sir. He was called the God of Jacob.
He's saying, I love you. I love you. He's saying, you've gone to sin. I love you. I'm your God. Notice it says the God of Jacob is our refuge. Our refuge. The Lord's our rock in a weary land. A shelter in the time of storm. He's the refuge. I'm talking to some teenager tonight. You know what you're doing. You know what kind of life you're living. You know God doesn't have it all. He comes tonight and says, I want to tell you, I'm the God of Jacob. That means I'm the God of sinners. And I want you. I'll forgive you if you'll come back. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. He comes tonight to somebody who's been called to preach the gospel. But you've left the will of God and you know it. He comes tonight and says, and say, I'm the God of Elijah. I'm the God of Jacob. He says, you've gotten outside my will, left the purpose of your life. He holds out the nail-scarred hands tonight and he says, I'm the God of Jacob. You know what I want? I want this church, as long as I'm pastor here, I want us to have open arms for Jacobs. Young man walked down this aisle not long ago and got right with God. He said, Pastor, for 15 years I've been away from God. I grew up in this church. For 15 years I've been away from God. But he said, Pastor, I was drunk. He said, I had beaten my wife. He said, I was a vegetable. He said, I was a man of nothing. But he said, I decided to get right. Do something to get right. Change my life. He said, the first thing I thought about was you. He said, Pastor, I came back after 15 years. Hadn't seen you in 15 years. Last Friday night, I preached over in Illinois. Dr. Evans and Dr. Jorgensen went with me. This didn't mean as much to them, and they didn't know the story. But two of our young men who have not been preachers, and who have not been models of, they're not bad people, but the kind that are not faithful as they ought to be to church and the Lord's work. They heard I was going to be close to where they lived. And I walked out and there sat one of them right there and right beside him sat the other. Both of them grew up in the church here. Well, I had to leave as soon as service ended. We had work to do and I had to go out during the closing prayer. And so I rushed to the van and Larry Weller was out there. And Dr. Evans, Larry sits in the front. Dr. Jordan and I sit in the back. And it sort of balances out. Larry in the front, three of us in the back. And I started to close the side door, one of those doors that closes like a gate, you know. And I started to close it. And here came these two young men. One of them now, they say, is probably a millionaire. And the other one's a fine, successful businessman, both of them, 30, 32 years of age. And I started to leave, and they came out, and they shook my hand and said, you know who we are? I said, of course I know who you are. And one of them reached up, put his arm around me, and he hugged me. And the other one did the same thing. Now, they're not pastors. And they're not everything I wish they were, but they're my boys. And they know I love them. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God comes tonight to you and says, let me build your life again. God comes tonight to you and says, just come back and let me make you again. How many times have I said this? As long as you're alive, God has something you can still do. Because, brother, when God can't use you, take you on to heaven. As long as you're alive, God has something you can do. Tuck me back in the corner tonight as somebody whose life is not counted for God. Way back in the corner tonight, there's somebody who's away from the will of God. Somebody who's not walking with Him, living in His book, praying. You're not tithing. And God says, "Hey, hey, I got something to tell you. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge." That's what he meant. In the New Testament, he said he was a friend of sinners. He loves sinners. You know who Jesus loves the most tonight in this room? One that's farthest from him. You know tonight the one he wants to help the most? One that's the farthest away from him. The Lord of hosts is with us. Isn't that good? He's with us. Isn't that wonderful? He's with us. Yeah. The God of Jacob. Not Moses. Not Elijah. Not Noah. Not Aaron. The God who saw life crooked, dishonest, deceitful. 20 years wasted. Never did a thing. Never took, as far as I know, a dollar out of his pocket and gave it to a poor person. Never crossed a Red Sea on dry ground. Never prayed down fire from heaven. Never wore the priestly garment. I mean, just not much good for anything but Jacob, the God of Jacob, the God of Jacob, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Our Heavenly Father, reach out in this great crowd tonight and touch the one that's Jacob. Touch that Jacob tonight. And I want to thank you that you said Jacob. I want to thank you that you didn't say Moses. He's out of reach for me. Jacob's not.